Minister, National Commissioner. Let's start our meeting. The program is between you, is before you. You are all welcome. I think the National Commissioner's team is well known, but for record purposes, I will ask the National Commissioner just to introduce his team.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity to again come before the committee to do a presentation. My name is Zakaria Modise and I'm the National Commissioner of Correctional Services. With me, the delegation is led by CDC James Malberger, who is responsible for incarceration and correction. Also, Ms. Linda Bond, who is the Chief Director responsible for Human Resource Development, and also Ms. Antonika Mabunda, who is in our Parliamentary License Office Chairperson. I think that's the delegation for myself, Deputy Minister. Thank you very much.
Please, National Commissioner, Deputy Minister, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable of the committee. Good morning. This morning I'm standing in for the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services, Advocate Masuta, who is out of the country on official duties. The National Commissioner has already introduced yourself. The official from the department will be part of the discussion this morning. The Minister sought to have this meeting with the committee, as you are aware, to present and consult the committee on potential candidates for appointment to serve as members of the National Council for Correctional Services. And the members in question on the council would be representatives of the public in line with the requirements of Section 83.3H of the Correctional Services Act, which obligates the minister to appoint four or more members who would directly represent the public. In terms of Section 83 of the Correctional Services Act, the minister must appoint a National Council for Correctional Services, as the committee members are aware. The primary function of the NCCS is to advise the minister in developing policy with regard to the correctional system and the sentencing process. In terms of Section 77 of the same Act, the NCC is also acting as a Correctional Supervision Parole Review Board to review the Correctional Supervision and Parole Board decisions, a function which I also assume that the committee members will be aware of. The four members and more that the minister must appoint to represent the public. The Act stipulates that they must not be in full-time employ of the state, and that when appointing those four and more direct representatives of the public, the minister must consult the relevant parliamentary committees. And hence we are having this meeting this morning to do exactly that. Now, just for purposes of orientation, I'm going to request the department to come in and take the committee through the process that was undertaken up to this point in seeking to realize the legal constitution that the minister has to observe. And after they presented to the committee the process and the steps undertaken to this point, I'll come back later to speak to the product that the committee is interacting with today. With your permission, Chair, if you allow us, I'll call in the department to do so.
Morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. In terms of the, it will be slide 6, just to go through the detailed process. As the Deputy Minister has alluded the background, then I'll continue of the chronological exposition of the process that was followed. The first advert was placed on the 21st of February 2016, and chairperson and honourable members, from that advert, there were only 15 nominations or applicants received for the position, and the chairperson will be aware that the honourable minister then liaised with the chairperson, and decision was taken to call again for other adverts, for another to re-advertise. On the 5th of April, chairperson, the nominations were called again by virtue of an advertisement in the newspaper, and another 27 names were received, meaning that the 15 as well as the 27 were then giving us a total of 42 applicants or nominations received for the four or more positions, as the Deputy Minister has alluded. Chairperson, just for a matter of interest, in terms of the applications, 10 of the current existing members have then reapplied or they nominated again. Chairperson, the Deputy Minister will indicate, as he said, on the detail of the process, but I'll just go briefly. Then on the 11th, a letter was written to the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, and on the 12th to the Chairperson of the Select Committee by the Honourable Minister, sharing with the two committees proposed names, and then there were inputs received, and as indicated on the last bullet there, that following that inputs, those inputs from the preliminary consultation was then considered. Chairperson and Honourable Members, on the next slide, it is the basic criteria which was applied to sift through the candidates for this process. The basic criteria was the candidate must be nominated. The candidate must have accepted his nomination or her nomination. And then, as the Deputy Honourable Deputy Minister indicated, the Act is very specific that this four or more members should not be in the full-time employee of the state. That was the next criteria. And then, Chairperson, the following four criteria was highlighted in the advert. And the first one was experts in clinical psychology. The second criteria in the advert was a representative of non-governmental organizations working within the field of correctional services. The next one, Chair, was academics with expertise in criminal law, criminology, penology, or restorative justice. The last criteria in the advert, Chair, was expert in community justice. Chair, then there was a criteria added to say we need to look also at gender transformation skills transfer imperative to make sure that we have a balanced NCCS as a whole. The last criteria, Chair, was the one of inputs which were received after the preliminary consultation process that the Deputy Minister alluded and the letters of 11 and 12 May to the respective portfolio committees and select committee. Chair, based on the applications and the selection criteria as well as the other criteria mentioned, after the Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister have looked and considered all the information, the following candidates were then submitted to the Portfolio Committee for consultation purposes. First category is experts in clinical psychology. The first candidate mentioned there is Mr. I. L. de Klerk. Chairperson, he is a clinical psychologist and he obtained his qualifications in the University of the Free State and is currently in private practice. So I think for progress sake, I'm not going to go into the detail of the experience because I think the CVs were also distributed and I'm going to file that. Chair, it's safe to say also that Mr. de Klerk is currently a member of the current NCCS, which was appointed for a 12-month term. So the next candidate that is proposed for consultation is Mrs. P.S. Monyamani. Ms. Monyamani has a Master's in Clinical Psychology and she obtained the qualifications from the University of Johannesburg and she is an independent practitioner. Chair, I think the same applies with the vast experience that she do have. Also, Chair, to mention that she is also currently a member of the NCCS appointed for 12 months. Chair, the third clinical psychologist that is submitted for consultation purposes and recommended is Ms. Lucinda Ratamani. Ms. Ratamani is also a qualified clinical psychologist. She's indicated there at the University of Guildford in the UK, where she obtained her qualifications. Also, a long list of previous experience, Chair, and also like to mention that she was a national council member from 2010 to 2015. She was in the field of non-governmental organizations working within the correctional services field. Chair, I need to say, I think in the nominations, members would have seen that there's a number of NGOs, but those who have who are currently working in the field of corrections are only a few. The first one that is recommended is Advocate K.A. Mahumanu. He do have a master's degree and obtained at the University of the North and Potchefstroom University. So just in short, his experience, honorable members will see that he's a retired magistrate. He's currently serving as a chairperson of Confrenisa. And important from this organization is also that they are involved currently in the Department of Correctional Services and assisting various community initiatives and also that benefit parolees. Jerry's experience is also, we're not going to go into that, details of the history. Chair, the next community representative non-governmental organization within correctional services is Reverend J.P. Clayton. Reverend Clayton is a pastor and he's also very actively involved in NGO work in the prison Hope Prison Ministry, and he's also assisting the department in the Western Cape specifically with restorative justice and victim offender dialogue. And Chairperson, also safe to say that he is also an ex-offender. He served time up until he was released in 1991. And since then, Chair, he's a law-abiding citizen and he is involved in many projects as is indicated on his CV. Chairperson, the next category is expertise in criminal law, criminology, as well as restorative justice. Chair, the first person is Ms. A. Velagati. Ms. Velagati do have a LLB degree obtained from the University of Johannesburg. She is currently a practicing attorney and she's also director of that law firm. Jefferson is also a long list of experience and also she's mentioned, Jefferson and honorable members, that she is also currently a member of the current NCCS that is which was approved 1 June till the end of May. Citizen, the next candidate under this category is Dr. V. Shetty. She has a doctorate in criminology obtained in the University of Durban Westville. Dr. Shetty is currently a retired lecturer and she has more than 31 years experience in the field of criminology. and passing the detailed experience here, also to mention that she's also currently a serving member of the NCCS. She's on the NCCS since 1 June 2015. Chairperson, the next and the last category is experts in community justice system. Chair, the proposed candidate here is Mr. M. Mkopo. Mr. Mkopo is also in possession of a law degree in LLB and is currently a retired attorney. Also vast experience, and also if we look at his CV, it's clear that the welfare of prisoners from foreign countries is close to his heart, and he has extensive experience in the broader law field, and he is then recommended to be considered under this category. Chairperson, Honourable Deputy Minister, this is in short the presentation of the background as well as the last part. Chair, let me also just mention in brief that the consultation is with regard to section 83.2H, but to remind the Honourable Chairperson and Portfolio Committee members that the NCCS, although we're only consulting on the community members, also safe to say that the NCCS consists of three judges from the High Court, consists of a magistrate from the regional division of the division of magistrate, a director or deputy director from the public prosecutions appointed in consultation, two members of the Department of Correctional Services on the level of director and higher, a member from the South African Police Service on the director level or higher, a member from the Department of Social Development, same level, director and higher, as well as two persons with special knowledge under the correctional system. Chairperson, all these appointees are obviously by the Minister in consultation with the relevant departments, and if we are saying partners, we also then refer to the Chief Justice in terms of the judge. Chair, that is in brief the background for NCCS as well as the candidates that are proposed. Thank you, Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Mr. Sumanga, and we'll hand over to the Honourable Deputy Minister.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Honourable members, the presentation Commissioner Smallberger has made now covers aspects which I hear on we're going to return to. What I may just add is that, as he has just indicated, the composition of the NCCS in its entirety includes the other seven mandatory categories which at all times must be part of the NCCS, the three judges from the Supreme Court of Appeal or from the High Court, representative of the prosecutorial authority, representative of the magistracy, representative of the police, social development, the Department of Correctional Services. And it is those categories of members of the NCCS that made the minister want to review the initial list of candidates that were presented, taking into account that the act, the way it is crafted, ensures that there are no flaws in ascertaining and ensuring that the necessary technical inputs into the discussion of the NCCS are taken care of. And as a result, the minister then sought to improve the list of members who must now directly represent the public, and make sure that that list must not be overburdened by the consideration to bring in people on the basis of their professional and technical soundness, but to make sure that other dimensions of public or community interest also find way into decisions of the NCCS by making sure that these candidates have backups that bring diversity in the composition of the Correctional Services Council. Of course, the other point which was a factor in the minister wanting to improve the list that was originally submitted was to improve the diversity of community representation of the overall list. Much as the number is limited, the minister was of the view that something could still be done to improve that community, you know, representation. Hence, the final submission that we are now taking today to the community, I mean to the committee. There is, of course, an appreciation by the minister that going forward, we are going to have to pay, you know, serious attention to the composition of the NCCS, because our take is that unavoidably it is going to become one of the public bodies that take decisions that the public are going to have at all times to be assured that there are decisions that were taken by a very competent team and are decisions that have looked at interests from all angles, such that our panel system can enjoy, you know, the reputation that at all times must be protected. Those are the remarks that I wanted to make, chairperson and members, and I think the board is now in your court. Thank you.
Allow me to thank you for your remarks, which are very, very helpful, because usually we have a situation where some people who want to accumulate wealth, they run around looking for boards to serve on, and you find that they're actually not serving the people through those boards, but serving themselves. They get additional income. But your remarks show that you have actually, your ministry has set the criteria which will ensure that we don't get people onto the NCCS who come for the purpose of getting additional income, but people who can add value, because at the end of the day, we want to serve the people, not ourselves. But also to say that the criteria that the ministry has come up with will assist the department, because in our interaction with the department, looking at the reports and looking at the work that the department has been doing, it's quite clear that this department puts the people first. These are the daily principles are taken seriously by this department, and this will actually strengthen their work. And I hope that the honorable members here, in their engagement with the names presented, they will also be informed by your vision of the type of people that we need. Honorable Deputy Minister, we want to thank you very much. Indicated by the Deputy Minister and the National Commission. Can we take names? Honorable Bredenbach.
Thank you. Initially, we were part with quite a comprehensive list of, I think, 42 people. I would like to know a little bit more about the process that went into filling them down. because we've now this morning presented with a document that proposes three people. So I would like to know how the others were excluded on what basis and what the process was that turned out.
Honorable Deputy Minister, I think as I said, we now have a clear criteria and consideration from yourself as to how you appointed the people. So really what is asked now is really the process only. So can we leave it to you to take us through the process? So, thin down or thin?
Well, the list was thinned out. There were two people. And now there are three. So, 39 people that for some reason or another been found wanting. I would love to know what
okay.
is to that process.
Okay, now that is a fair question. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you for the question. Let's clarify it.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister, Chairperson, and Honorable Members. Chairperson, I will go back to the presentation of the criteria. Chairperson, what the Honorable Minister did was to appoint a small advisory team who then shifted to the 42, and I'll just summarize the process. So for each and every candidate, Chairperson, they were evaluated against the criteria, meaning that if a person is nominated but he did not accept, that will be the reason for the individual not to continue to the next process. Also, there were, if I recall, five current serving government employees. That will be then, for example, a reason for them not to be going to the next phase. Chairperson, when the criteria was applied, there was then a short list. The short list was then presented to the Honourable Minister and the Honourable Deputy Minister, where the Deputy Minister and Deputy Minister then sift through those shortlisted candidates and applying the criteria that was also given of the four categories. Therefore, the current names that are presented are eight. The only three that I believe the Honourable Breckenbach is referring to, Chairperson, is the further consultation that was referred to, because there was initial eight names and there was then inputs from committee members and select committee members to the Honourable Minister and the Honourable Deputy Minister, and they have considered those inputs and other inputs, and after considering those inputs, they were then coming to the conclusion that of the initial eight names submitted, three that were on the list that is which maybe Honourable Breckenbach is referring to is in that list. So consultation then assisted to then weigh up three other names, and then after considering the inputs and those names, then three others that were initially submitted on the 11th to the Portfolio Committee were then replaced by the other three. Chair, let me make it clear that the four and more members in terms of Section 83-2H, it's eight that is submitted for consultation and not three. The three is only those that were amended during the process of considering the preliminary consultation process. Thank you, Deputy.
Honourable Breckenbach, I will give you a chance to follow up if you
wish. Thank you for the question. I'm also a little confused as to the category of academics. I don't find a name for that category on the three that are suggested for appointment. So if you could address that, please. And then certainly with regards to personal experience of community work, I see that you're recommending Mr. Mokopo, but I had four names on my list for that category that I quite liked, or three names actually that I quite liked. So I would like to also consider.
What would be your understanding of an academic? If someone has a master's degree, would that fall within that definition?
Certainly that would be somebody who is an academic, but under the heading of academics here, Mr. Vilakazi and Mr. Chetty were were suggested, and I don't find them on the short list, so I'm not sure why.
No, thank you, Chair, and to the honourable member for the question, for the clarity seeking question. Let me just explain this. The categories that you see here are categories which are indicated in the advert that we put out. Right at the beginning, I earlier on indicated that in looking at the list in its entirety that we are talking about of candidates who must represent the public, it turned out unintentionally to be a list that was predominantly made out of people with academic background, and which betrayed the desire through the four candidates and more to bring in other perspectives with respect to life exposure in relation to candidates and their inputs into the discussions of the NCCS. And the reason why this became a concern was because of what I said earlier on, that it then made almost the entire committee of the NCCS Council to be a committee of people with academic backgrounds, overlooking the fact that because in the first proposed candidates, we were almost overlooking the fact that the expertise that are identified here for these representatives of the community, of the broader public, its expertise that is provided in the mandatory categories, the seven categories, with respect to legal background, we've got the, you know, three lawyers, legal background, you have from the magistracy, you know, participation, you've got participation from the prosecutorial authority. So there was a, you know, criminology of participation of police, of South African police services, social, looking for social development. So from a technical point of view, the council was almost home and dry with respect to the challenges that it may, you know, encounter in its discussions with respect to those kinds of inputs. And it was on those grounds that the category academics was reviewed, and of those four candidates, we felt that those two could be dropped, and I can indicate what was the rationale, why the two out of the four. But those two were dropped in order to create space in order to bring in candidates with other diverse backgrounds. That was the reasoning behind, you know, the disappearance of the two names that you have referred to. There is also, under clinical psychologist, the one name that was originally there that was dropped under clinical psychologist, and we retained two instead of three for the same reason. So all in all, at the end, we ended up with three names that were dropped from the original list and allowed in three more candidates that were going to provide the kind of diversity of representation that we thought it was crucial that the NCCS should have. I don't know if that is helpful, Herr Chairperson.
It is helpful. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Minister. I need a moment to consider what the Deputy Minister said and to apply it to the requirements in the Act. So you can go ahead and answer to Councillor Anderson.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Thank you, Honourable Bredenbach. I think the rationale is very clear that academics were not ignored, but it was also important to accommodate diversity. We are dealing with a culturally diverse society, and diversity is paramount in our work. Honourable members, any honourable intervention?
Honourable Deputy Minister, Commissioners, and Honourable Members. Thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister, for the presentation, and thank you so much for taking issue of diversity into consideration, not only academic credentials. That was very, very progressive. As the Chairperson has already alluded to, issue of people wanting to serve into various state boards in order to improve themselves should be a thing of the past. So I therefore propose that we adopt as a committee this presentation. Thank you. Name as presented.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure what the other metropolis is proposing. You should probably maybe accept these three names.
As a committee, and say that on page 3, Annex A, you see of that document, these documents. Welcome, Honorable Leon. This is the document that's on page 3, Annex A.
Sorry, then I do have something to add.
Category as present clinical psychology, Mr. I. L. Duclerc, Ms. T. S. Munyamani, Ms. L. U. Z. Rataimani, Category 2, representative of non governmental organization working within the field of correctional services, Advocate K. A. Mahomani, Ref. J. P. Clayton, third category, academics with expertise in criminal law, criminology, penology, or restorative justice. Ms. A. Villagasis, Dr. V. Chetty, fourth category, expert in community justice system, Mr. M. Nkogo, or Ngopo. Thank you, Chair.
The proposal of the names proposed, Honorable Majaki.
I second the proposal, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We do not support the proposal. We would like the fourth category, the experts in community justice systems, to be expanded to more than one candidate.
Thank Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. I think a proposal from Honorable Breitenbach should be sent to the ministry. As we adopt this list, there is a proposal that there should be access in community additionally.
Yes, sorry, Chair, can we just maybe have clarity on what exactly your proposal is? Are we adopting the list as is and then inform the Minister that there was a view within the committee that there should be a broadening of the community?
I think one of the Breitenbach next to you is specific. She's recommending that the category for next steps in the community justice system be broadened to include more than one. And the Honorable Majaki supports that by saying, let's refer that, because it's a recommendation, refer it to the ministry, because the ministry is consulting us on this, but we are saying then as a committee that please also consider putting more than one name for community justice. Honorable President.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would also like to make recommendations as to who should be considering my view. I would have thought that Ms. or Mrs. van der Leon would have qualified in that category quite well. Mr. Maposo and Mr. Vava.
No problem,
yeah. No, Vava. Don't worry, Mr. Kawana, don't get afraid. Vava.
No, just to take those recommendations.
1 billion.
What?
1 billion. Please pardon. And Maposo and Baba.
I don't think we should take that step further of mentioning the exact names of the people, because from where we're sitting, not all of us are government, and the ministry has been consulting us about the specific names, and they gave the specific reasons why those names were specific. So I think we can just leave it at the step where we're saying let the minister consider that category form. But again, I don't know whether, because it's all of us as members of parliament have complained that we need to put austerity measures on everything. We must do more with less. So we will have to consider all those things. So maybe the minister will consider all those things. But just allow the minister to look at all of them if it's possible. If it's possible, that's an open recommendation without bringing in the names of the specific members, right?
But isn't the nature of consultation that the minister must decide after consultation? He's not deciding in consultation, and therefore he's not obliged even to accept what we have recommended.
Correct.
He will, whether we have suggested names or not, but still have the right to take the decision. Shouldn't we leave it at that? And accept that the Honorable DA has this suggestion. The balancing act at the end is that of the Minister after consultants. Honorable Breitenbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I refer to our briefing note on for this committee set. And it's suggested on page 4 that according to the legal opinion obtained with regards to the meeting of the meaning of in consultation with, which is what's happening here today, denotes that the minister should require concurrence of the relevant committee prior to making the appointment. So it's a little bit more than just consulting us. It's a heavier burden. And the names that I suggested were merely as save everybody from talking to all CVs again.
Chairperson, honourable members, I don't know if this will assist. My understanding is that the honorable member is appealing that we increase candidates for community justice system. Okay? We increase candidates there. By implication, your appeal is that the number of appointed members should not be 8, but it should be 8 plus 3. Or are you saying from the 3 candidates you have mentioned, 1 should be lifted from these 3 to be added, such that the committee becomes 8 plus 1, 9?
No, it's not an suggestion. Minister, what I'm suggesting is that more people than just Mr. What's his name.
Yes.
The hope will be considered. Going through the CVs, which I did at some length.
We retain the number at 8.
Yes. I'm just suggesting that the other people whose CVs are as impressive as Mr. Corpus, as you add a different dimension to that category of persons. And so I would like more people than just Mr. Corpus to consider for that particular point.
Before we say no, we must find out if there is a problem. Because your Deputy Minister correctly asked whether the suggestion would mean that we go beyond 8 names. But the Honorable Blender says no, is simply to say it won't be, the Minister should not just look at Nkop, there are 2 other names. But the final decision still rests with the Minister to say Nkopo or Vazi or Baba. No, there's still a consultation. Can you just hold on?
Understand. So now it is transferring that the understanding is that we must remove a candidate which was recommended. So in view of that understanding, I think I'm not even supporting that
we
must. We're not recommending, we're supporting exactly what was brought to us. Exactly what was brought to us, we are recommending that it must be strictly.
And that means therefore that the concurrent.
Yes.
What's
that is correct.
Okay. In that case, Conde knows that the DA does not support the list as it is, and we would suggest that more people than just one be considered for the last category. And we do not support this list.
It's unfortunate that Honorable Ms. Bessenberg keeps on changing. I'm not sure what he wants now. However, I wanted to come to the question of interpretation of the legal opinion that was given. Consultation does not mean people must necessarily agree. The final word comes from the minister. In consultation, that means I let you know this is what you think, what's your opinion. However,
now, Honorable Mungan, let's leave that because I think the meaning of in consultation means that the committee must concur. And my reading is that the majority of the members in this committee concur. And therefore, if anyone needs to take a vote, we can do that. But my eyesight is very good. When I look on my left, I can see that the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is one person, one member who does not agree. I think I'll take the hands of those who say. So before I do that, can I have the Honourable Dr. Minister to address us?
Chairperson, your indulgence to say it's appreciated. I do not want to be disruptive to proceedings. I was just thinking or reflecting on what the Honourable Member Bredenbach is appealing we do. We have one candidate as an expert in community justice systems. The candidate we now have was not there in the original list. It's one of the three candidates that are new additions that were done after intense deliberations in the ministry. Deliberations that they sought to go back to the original list and stretch out that list and see if there are no other candidates who can bring in valuable diversity of inputs. And this particular candidate, the reason why we brought him in was that his studies in law has international exposure. He studied law in Germany. But not only that, the candidate himself indicated that his area of interest was how our penal system deals with non-nationals, non-South Africans. And this is an issue, as you are aware, that, for instance, in relation to one of the prominent cases we have on our hands now, the whole question of whether you grant that person parole and what happens after is a material challenge for our penal system to address. And we just felt that with the interest, area of interest that he has indicated, he will indeed enrich views of the National Council of Correctional Services on matters like that. But thirdly, of all the candidates we have, the 42, he appeared shoulders above the rest as an activist legal person. He has actually started initiatives in his communities around the promotion of human rights. And we feel that it is that kind of background that we must not lose in the enriching the composition of the NCCS. So I have a difficulty if the proposal is that we must drop him. Because I will appeal that that candidate should not be dropped for the reasons that just adduced. However, maybe to ensure that to in the interest of cordiality in the House, that we make a submission to the minister that the minister considers increasing this number to 9 instead of 8. That in this category, instead of dropping the candidate that we have, we retain it, but we bring in another candidate. And we look at the names proposed, the three that the Honourable Member Breitenbach is proposing, and any other candidate who's part of that 42 who can improve the this particular segment that we are talking about. That is amenable to committee members. I would propose we take that route. I was reluctant at the beginning to willingly to agree to the view of any numbers, because it's got also budgetary implications. These people, when they attend during sessions, the department budget have to take care of that. So it's not like we have an endless. Yes.
Let me actually just first place on record that we were dealing with 42 names, which means the consultation was very broad, on a wide range of names from diverse backgrounds, and that the concurrence that we seek on the names presented we have, and we have to then take votes to confirm the concurrence and note the recommendation, because it's not guaranteed that that recommendation will be doable. But before we go to the concurrence, can we just hear what other members are saying about the Deputy Minister's... let me start with those who have not spoken on the matter first. I'll take Honourable Majaki, Honourable Bongo, and come back to Honourable Breton.
Chairperson, I agree with the recommendation by Deputy Minister, but for us not to mention names, for us not to mention the numbers, so that the whole matter can be looked at within the legislative framework, and necessary action should be taken if it's possible. This is how they should be doing it. We just recommend, take to the minister that there has been a recommendation by the committee to look at Category 4 and the visibility of adding members to Category 4. We are safe if we don't come up with measures, safe if we don't come up with the numbers, just to say that within the legislative framework.
That may create problems for us, because if we say on Category 4 we add names, it means we were not conclusive on that matter. But the committee has got to be conclusive, and then as an agenda, we say there's a recommendation by, I don't know if you want to link parties, but there's a recommendation that an expansion of the list, because that as far as the committee is concerned, we accept the recommendations of the minister. Honorable Dong?
No, Chair, I think we concur with whatever has been presented on the names. But we agree also with the Deputy Minister that over and above this concurrence, we submit to the Minister that the suggestion which we are almost all buying, that looking at the budgetary constraints and other considerations, if it is possible that he adds another person on that category four, on that category, looking at the names that Honorable President has raised and other names out of the 42, anyone may be also should be feasible. We just make that we are putting caveat on the concurrence that we.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the approach of the Deputy Minister. The sensible reconciliatory approach, and I'm grateful for it. My comment on it is simply that Mr. Nkobo has a legal background, as you said. And you already said that the committee is sort of top heavy with people with a legal background. Which is why I actually spent time looking for people who didn't have a legal background, but fell into that area. The names that I suggested are only suggestions, and weren't at all meant to be descriptive. And that's all I have to say. But in the current form, we can't support them.
In the current form?
We can't support them.
I think let's let the matter rest today. This committee concurs with the list of the minister, and it notes the recommendation, and it is in the hands of the minister to look at the feasibility or otherwise of that one. But for the purpose of this meeting, we have concurred with Deputy Honorable Deputy Minister with your minister.
You wish.
Honorable members, let's now deal with the report of the committee on the filling of vacancies at the information regulator. The report has been distributed. We can take some 3 minutes for you to refresh your minds on the report, and then just to make sure that it captures what has happened, and then that is a report we can proceed on.
and was admitted as an advocate in 1984. She holds a number of awards from the CEO magazine as the most influential woman in business and government. She also holds a City Press Prestige Award, which she got in 2006, as one of the most inspirational achievers who made a difference with their vision. She has an award from Black Business Executive Circles for excellent management of elections. She holds an award for from VAL Achievers Award as a community leader. She holds an award from internship program of the United States as a South African career leader. She also has an award from Harvard University as a leading fellowship program that is run by the university. That is the name for the chairperson. And for the other members, the recommendation is Susan Snail. Susan Snail is a young, vibrant attorney. I guess all of the information about who he is here. We know the fact that there was a formal objection.
In the interest of saving time, the Honourable Pirana Majority, we were all there, and we all
okay.
And all read the TV, so you don't have to read so
okay, okay, Honourable
President. That's okay with you.
President Bach, okay. So we have also the name of Philip Snail, and then it's followed by Advocate Johannes Wipont, it's followed by Advocate Elstrom, and Tara Pretoria.
Yes.
For full time we have Advocate Pensi Kakura, and then Sizwe Snail is part time, and the Advocate Johannes Ipont is full time, Advocate Elstrom is full time, Professor Dana Pretoria is part time, and this is in accordance with what the candidates themselves have actually indicated and will prepare.
Thank you, Chairperson. I support the names. Yeah, Chair, if I may, thank you. We are not in agreement with all of the names. We are in support of the names of Advocate Stroom and Professor Pistorius as part-time commissioners. Stroom, as a matter of fact, indicated that she would contemplate serving as a full-time commissioner. And we, as a matter of fact, would support the view that she must be appointed to serve on a full-time basis, along with, on a part-time basis, Professor Pistorius. And then we are of the view that to get also some financial expertise into the regulator, Mr. Simulani must be accommodated. He was the only candidate shortlisted and interviewed, and nothing in his interview indicated in our view that he's not fit for purpose. He indicated that he's also available only on part-time basis, and then on a full-time basis we are of the view that instead of Mr. Snail, which in our view, despite protesting to the contrary, did not convince that he can successfully work in a team, that he not be considered, but that Professor David Taylor rather be considered on a full-time basis, looking after access to information, and then in terms of protection of privacy, Professor Tana Pistorius are there.
and then Chair, we are of the due consideration, unfortunately, of the view that none of the candidates interviewed by the committee is fit and proper to be appointed as the chairperson. We agree that Advocate Tlakula indeed had a very impressive CV. She, for the most part, had a very good interview. Unfortunately, however, there is still the issue of when she was the chair of the IEC, defined by the Electoral Court, which even though she indicated that it's not a finding of guilt, was a factual finding of misconduct on a part during the time she was still the CEO. And even though she protested that she's not been found guilty by any court ever, the fact is that before this parliament could embark on a process to either adopt or not factual findings of the electoral court, she resigned. So that, for all practical purposes, prevented the process to be concluded. In addition to that, and you will remember, Jay, that we specifically asked what she learned from this, because even if we are a country and we must be a parliament, we also have second chances. Unfortunately, in our view, her answers did not convey any sense of responsibility for anything that happened that led up to the findings of the Electoral Court. And in the light of that, we are of the view that she is indeed not fit and proper person to serve as a chair of this body, whose main task in the first 12 months will be to set up an office and to, if not personally be involved, then at least in a very strong oversight role, be involved with the conclusion of service delivery contract. And in the light of the fact that the finding of factual finding of misconduct on her part by the Electoral Court had all to do with a service delivery contract, we, based on her answers and the fact that she was not prepared to take any responsibility, we cannot support her as a chair. And as I've already indicated, in our view, none of the other interviewees qualified to be a chair. So we are indeed of the view that we must go in search of a chair.
Saying that she should place the burden of proof on herself, either acquitted herself or convicted herself.
No, that's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is, even before all her protestations, there's a finding by a court of law in South Africa, a factual finding that she displayed misconduct while being the CEO of the IEC. She did not reveal it. So that stands. And based on the fact that she was not even prepared to say, but yeah, I'm not blameless. I've made mistakes in my past, but this time around I will put measures in place that I follow the statutory framework in respect of financial dealings of this regulator to the letter. We cannot support her. I mean, what we actually saw is to go back to what your comment now, was a situation where she questioned the validity of the finding, even though she at the time chose rather to walk away from the situation than to tackle it head on and clear her name.
There is an organization called the Bar Council, and other organizations are independent bar and all. Very, very strict organizations. Immediately a person is called an advocate, anything, however slight, that is associated with that person, they go straight to court and have that person's name removed from the list of advocates. Nothing like that happened. I'm not sure, really. And the second thing that I find from this one is that all the cases that were there, none of them would be a chairperson. which means we must start from the, you know, from the beginning, together, sir. I'm not sure, but I think that I still support the name of Mayor Sakul to be in the list. She's a proper person and fit and proper. And with your respect, I don't agree with you.
Honorable Paul, in the light of what Honorable Nguyen said, you will remember that one of the questions we had to put was whether a person is fit and proper. And now to be admitted as an advocate, you have got to meet that criteria. So isn't it correct to say the fact that she was not struck off the roll, instead she was elevated to a position on the continent, shows that her fitness to hold office was in no way dented by that recommendation of the electoral commission? Do you want to express yourself on that?
Yes, Chair. Unfortunately, I cannot agree with that sentiment that merely based on the fact that nobody chose to pursue an application to strike advocate from the role of advocates, that boils down to a situation where we can ignore the findings of the electoral court as if it did not happen. At the risk of oversimplifying this, it is the same as it's when I drive home to a Acacia Park this evening and I skip a red robot, and I'm not stopped by a traffic officer, or there's no camera in place to take a photo of me transgressing the law. That does not make me not guilty of transgressing the laws of the country. So the mere fact that nobody at the time chose to bring an application to strike her off the role of advocates is irrelevant to this process. In our view, still, unless set aside, this is a court law. If you look at the structure of our courts of law in South Africa, this is not even a lower court. It's amongst the it ranks amongst the high courts of South Africa.
Yeah, I think this chair, I think by the, my support, that we support all the names, but we should put few things on record. One, that on SMAIL there was an issue that some group of advocates raised a matter that he may not be fit for. And in his response was that the message in the High Court is still pending. And with regards to Ms. Pansy Kagut, I think we had asked a basic question. We had time to entertain that panel. And what she said was that it was not that she was running away from the law or whatsoever, but what had transpired was that she felt personal. That that office is bigger than herself as a person, and she must just step aside in the interest of the office and the South African public, which I think is honourable to do. And I don't think we as a committee we can really discuss fit and proper. So fit and proper has been now, there's case law around the issue of fitness and properness of a person. So a person will not make a suggestion here in the just in the committee here when I look at you and say fit and proper and it must just go. I think courts have also adopted some rules and ways of determining fitness and properness of any person. And to disregard, if you are part of an organized board, like Cousin Pumlana said, if you are part of an organized board, it is a bit difficult. If you want to be part of a nursing council, what? While you're a lawyer, you're an attorney, an advocate, there are bodies that are strictly checking into those kind of issues. So to the extent that there is no court that has said she's not fit and proper. I think she's still qualified. She's still a South African citizen that must be given a fair opportunity to serve the people of this country. We have looked at the CV, very impressive. She has participated. She's also a renowned scholar. I think to say that she's not suitable, it will be unfair to her as a citizen of this country. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what we just need to consider now, because it was quite clear and obvious that Honorable Advocate Dlakula was the only qualifying candidate to take up the role of the information regulator. Other candidates openly said that they don't think they have ability to. They expressed interest in us becoming part of the regulator's office. So what we need to do, so that we don't actually confuse ourselves, we have a candidate that we think has got all the ability, quality and experience to actually assist it, to manage to occupy this position and help us in South Africa to set up an office of information regulator in terms of the Act. I am therefore recommending that we make a decision as a committee as to whether we are taking Advocate Dlakula as a regulator of South Africa, and we can actually put it to a vote after having considered and listened to all the discussions.
Obviously, if it has to come to a vote, we all know what would happen, and then shall be it. I just want to maybe address the comments made by the Honorable Bongo that we as a committee should not really consider the concept or the term fit and proper in relation to these candidates. And I just want to confirm that that is, as a matter of fact, the job of this committee on behalf of the National Assembly. In terms of the Act, we must appoint people who we deem to be fit and proper. And once again, the mere fact that you're a member of a professional body does not necessarily make you fit and proper for a position like this. It's the same as again, to use a very simple, maybe an overly simple example, I have 20 teenager boys of a very slim build. The fact that they are in their school qualifies them to play for school as representatives in a rugby team. But the fact that they are 20 kilograms lighter than their peers disqualifies them as fit and proper boys to play in that team. So to merely say that because Advocate Dlakula is a member of the Bar of South Africa, does not satisfy the requirements set by the Act. We must go into the issue of whether she is fit and proper, and it will be irresponsible and borderline irrational of this committee not to take note of the findings of the Electoral Court, the factual findings, which in as many words states that she was guilty of misconduct while being the CEO of the IEC.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, Honorable Horn agrees that Advocate Dlakula's CV and the interview are very, very, very much impressive. That's what he said. No, that's what he said.
Apart from her answers to the question of misconduct.
So.
Honorable members.
No, you know, people, that person, we know, fortunately some of us preside over very credible organizations, we know, people will always interject in our to people who don't have facts. Yes, I know, as usual. So, Chairperson, Advocate Nancy Dlakula was the only candidate who was so impressive. She could articulate herself very well. So, I don't know really what my learned colleagues here on my left-hand side are looking for. I therefore fully concur with Honorable Majak and Bongo that we adopt the name as presented. Thank you.
Just one point, I think I agree with Mr. Horn that the ex talk say to us must be somebody who is fit and proper. And when you are interpreting the act, you normally would refer to the case law on what is meant by fit and proper. As Advocate Bongwe has explained, this has been done. Are we going to go back to having our own interpretation of fit and proper? Like the school bonds and all other examples that he has made? Are we going to do that, or are we likely to take a case? And I think that let's go over this thing and just pass it.
Who wants to learn?
against 5 votes. Let's be together. Snake come Tuesday as part time, 5, and then against 2. The honourable members, can we stop the taxi caucuses and say the approved list is Takula as chairperson, Weapon as full time, Strong full time, Pretorius as name as part time. Agreed.
We do not agree.
So can you vote the list as a whole, those who are the list as a whole?
No.
I'm chairing the meeting and I've determined the will of the committee. The committee says we don't do it as a whole, so I'm bound by what the committee says. Can we move to what the Human Rights Commission says? Honourable members, can I allow you 3 minutes just to look at the report and show that there's nothing out of order in the report? Honourable Majaki, do you want to address the committee?
This is the report of the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Correctional Services on filling of vacancies in the South African Human Rights Commission, dated 17th May. The Portfolio Committee on Justice and Correctional Services, having considered the request by the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services for National Assembly to recommend 2 commissioners of South African Human Rights Commission, has interviewed on the 10th of May the following list of candidates: Andre Hatiko, Edward Nkangeleni Lambani, Mr. Ramdwa, Professor Shea Bushila Soda, Mr. Lindelwa Mabandla, Atodi Thomas Kwena Nsewa, Mr. Hassan Ibrahim, Dr. Opa Moshedi. Having considered the candidates looking for the interviews, names of Andre Gom and Advocate Lambani are being put forward for recommendation to the committee.
Can I
have to give them out? We all know them. Okay, thank you.
Yes, any second.
Most of the candidates are available full time.
Any second? Honorable Gomes, second. Okay, and then
We would support Mr. Gaon, but not Mr. Navani. And we would suggest that you give more consideration to Professor Sampa. We found her to be a very acceptable candidate.
You bear in mind that Professor Sampa is not available on a part-time, on a full-time basis.
Yes, we did, but there are going to be many vacancies arising in the very near future that you could fill.
Yeah, but for now, we are dealing with now, not in the, with the future.
Well, that's what I'll suggest.
Okay. Those who... any second there? Let's deal with these names one by one. Baum, those who support Baum. Gaum. Unanimous, Gaum, and unanimous. Those who support Rabban. Five. Two. Yeah, you have lived up to those who are in favor of Professor Songma. Two. Those against. Five.
Not available on
make a ruling on the language, it's not the language of the committee, we don't actually agree to it. No, it's in the committee.
Honourable members, can we confirm that this committee nominated Honourable Gaum and Honourable Lambani for the two positions with the two against and five for? The other name is unanimous, yes. Baum Gaum is unanimous, yes, nominated by all seven members, and Lambani by five and two against, and Sonja by two and five against.
That's hard enough,
but
yeah,
I don't
support the list
of changes. The skirmishes between some members will just ignore for peaceful purposes and proceed. From then. Honorable members, can I call Mrs. Cindy Bunny? To join us. Honorable members, when
when you are ready to listen to the chair will proceed. We have received the report of the committee on the minister's consultation with ourselves regarding the appointment of the NCCS. And now we made the following recommendations. One, that the committee recommends that the final list of nominees referred to above be considered for appointment as public representatives on the NCCS in terms of Section 83(2)(h). Two, that we further recommend that the minister considers increasing the number of candidates with expertise in the community justice systems category. Anybody who agrees that these are our recommendations? Yeah. Can I just take one person who's, and then a second. Honorable Bongo.
Thank you, Chair. I agree that this is a recommendation of the committee.
Any second? And then anybody who thinks we have not kept up the recommendations correctly, Honorable Bongo?
We aren't supposed to list this time for.
Okay, Honorable Greetinger. We have one is the list as presented by the minister. Are you saying you don't support it?
Yes.
Okay. And then the recommend. And then the recommendation on increasing the number who supports or doesn't support that.
Sorry, what's that?
The recommendation that we to the minister to consider increasing the number of candidates with them.
I think Honorable Chairman out of order because he has actually he took note of the list and then after studying it carefully then he changed the recommendation that you have actually added in the list. Oh, yeah, I should say no, we don't support the list. Now, what is your recommendation based on? Do not support the list.
We do not support the list in a shorter form. We would possibly support a list that contains an expanded fourth category. We are not going to support a list that has got one a person suggested in fourth category.
If we are to be honest, Honorable Greenberg, you support the list, but not the fourth category before. Yeah, yeah, we don't.
If you don't put it that way, then it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, no, it makes
sense.
No, thank you for reconsidering and the ability to change your mind. That's very progressive. Honorable members, we are consulting outside the meeting. Why are we reshuffling? Are you afraid of the loss of life? Okay. Honorable members,
You will recall that with regards to the information regulator, I gave you time to read the report. You were happy with the report, and names were proposed, and now we have reached finality on the names. So we are going to incorporate those names in the report that we have already accepted, and then that will be ATCs. That's our position as the committee. With regard to the Human Rights Commission, you recall that I also gave you time to read the report. You were happy with the report, and proposals were made on the names, and we have now reached finality on the names, and then those two names will accordingly be incorporated, and then the ATC. And that then brings us to the end of our work this morning. And I must thank you very much for your cooperation, and also thank you that none of the skirmishes really led to any violent confrontation. You are a civilized people. Thank you very much.
Thank you.